If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and beatitude and blessedness of the one divine spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, what is my Dharma? What is my purpose? And why am I here? So let's take a deep breath and center yourself in that column of light that extends from the very heart of God as your own life stream and flows down to the top of your head, integrating and aligning all of the levels of your oversoul, the Christ template, your eighth chakra, all of the levels of your being. See them line up in that column of divine light directly from the source. And see it fill you up from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, like you're being filled with divine nectar. See it flow into your brain and into your eyes, your ears, your sinuses, your mental capacities and understandings, and your overall consciousness. See it flow down into your throat and your expression, your creative way of speaking and presenting yourself, down into your heart, into your chest and lungs, into your visceral organs, into your hips, legs, knees, thighs, into your calves, into your ankles, into your feet, and see that divine nectar flowing all the way to your tippy toes, so that from to bottom, you are totally filled with the nectar of immortality, divine and rectum. And place a blessing on your life. Place your hands on your own head and confer your blessings to your life stream, to your inner child, to your inner teenager, to your basic selves, to your high self, and to your own soulific essence, that immortal part of you that but seems to visit time-space and then disappear and reappear. It is a grand dance, isn't it? It's the cosmic dance. We dance in and out of eternity to time and time to eternity until both completely dissolve in the all that is. So take another deep breath and occupy yourself fully in your full divine potential. Just quietly let it be. That's the truth of you. No lesser story holds any weight in reality. You are one with God forever and ever. Always have been. And remain that way, eternally. In highest truth, you are an embodiment of the one divine spirit, clothed in individuality, so that the many, many faces and facets of the divine consciousness can have a representation in the fractals of existence. Within the field of untapped and unlimited potentialities, you shine in different, unique nuances and manifestations of the One Divine. And yet, in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. So let's start with a beautiful love poem and discourse from Satya Sai Baba. Usually when he gives a divine discourse, he starts with singing a beautiful poem that comes to him and flows through him as he organizes the energy that is delivered as a packet of medicine to address that part of the mind that's forgotten its own blessedness. Each word is medicine that restores sanity. So take these words as the medicine that the Lord is lovingly conveying in his words and in his expression in and through and as you. And as always, ask for the light to be placed with you, the light of the Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of the highest divine essence, so that that which you receive tonight is for your highest and best good. And always we ask that in loving gratitude and devotion. And we're so privileged to come together each week to share the good news of the kingdom of heaven and of our own divine destiny. So this tone poem is the embodiment of the love of God. And Sai Baba sings thus: one may be a master of all the scriptures and competent to teach the Vedanta. One may be a great ruler, living in a many-splendored mansion. One may be a valiant hero who had vanquished his enemies, or may be a pitiable victim of poverty and privation. If he has no devotion in him, his life is devoid of meaning. A servant who is filled with love of God is more to be adored than the ruler of the world. It has been said that service to God has been described as bhakti, devotion. The heart of the devotee flows with the love of the Lord through constant remembrance and recitation of his name. Out of this stream of love, devotion emerges. One who is nourished by the nectar of devotion will have no desire for anything else. To be unaffected by joy or sorrow, gain or loss, praise or blame, to remain steadfast and unwavering in faith are the hallmarks of true devotion. Affection, attachment, and desire are natural qualities in man. When these qualities are directed towards God, and when one is continually engaged in good deeds, these qualities acquire purity and sacredness. Then a man becomes not only a great soul, but can become divine. The devotee is ever conscious that the universe is a manifestation of the divine and is permeated by him. His life is based on the recognition of the immanence of God in everything. This state of mind is called prema advaitam, unity in love. Through this love, the devotee experiences oneness with the divine. Enjoying the bliss of this experience, the devotee seeks not even for moksha, liberation. Unremitting love of the Lord is everything for him. Such devotion is known as anaya bhakti, total devotion to the one and only beloved. So you are here, my beloved friends, because the Lord has called you and me to come. It said that whenever the good people suffer and cry to the Lord, whenever unrighteousness seeks to overwhelm the earth, the Lord will take upon himself a human appearing form and come to set aright the ancient way of the eternal, the way of radiant love and bliss. So you have come because you were hand-picked, specifically marked, and chosen by the avatar of this age, Sri Satya Sai Baba. You are the strongest, brightest, the most noble of souls who have come as the friends and co-workers of the Lord, his divine companions. You see, whenever the Lord takes embodiment, and I know in the West we don't have an understanding of this, we have the understanding that Jesus came as the Father in embodiment and manifested the Holy Spirit. But so often in the Western understanding, we attribute that divine estate only to Jesus. And we have not expanded our awareness to the many other of an illustrious lineage of divine appearances and embodiments of God that's called the avatars that have come from time immemorial. In every age, the Lord has advented himself. Sometimes partially in an aspect called an Anga avatar or extended avatar potency. Sometimes and rarely as a full avatar. And Satya Sai Baba is such a full or Purna avatar. It's extremely rare. And Sai Baba embodies the totality of every name and every form of God that has ever been worshipped from the beginning of time. And that's why when those of us go to him, we will see our beloved name and form of God embodied as Satya Sai Baba. When I first went to see Sai Baba, my first trip to Prashanti Nilayam, which is the abode of Supreme Peace, that's the name of his ashram in South India, I experienced him as the Christ. And I relived my whole lifetime during the 4 months that I stayed there. I relived my whole lifetime during the time of Jesus the Christ when I was embodied as one of the people at that time. And the whole of Prashanti Nilayam for me was transformed into ancient Palestine. And Baba would come out, and even though his hair is dark, dark brown, it appeared to be golden to me, and his eyes seemed to be that color of a pale, luminescent green color that the eyes of Jesus were and are. And I would lose all awareness of where I was and time and space and everything. And it was interesting because in those days they had a well right outside of the little ashram, which was very undeveloped and very primitive in those days. And we were free to just sit anywhere we wanted. And there was no formality whatsoever established at the ashram. I was one of a very tiny handful of Westerners that had ever come to India at that point. I think at one point there were six of us, and I was one of them. But sometimes I would be drawing water at the well, just like in ancient times, because in those days we had to carry, you know, water. There weren't any facilities, really, in the ashram when I went there the first time. And so sometimes he would come out unexpectedly, and I would drop the pail of water, and I would run and throw myself at his feet, like I imagine I did at the time of Jesus as well. And It was such an incredibly wonderful, enchanted time. The stories and the experiences I had, they just give me constant delight when I revisit them in my memory. And so each one of us has been handpicked to work with the embodiment of the Lord to restore sanity on this planet, to restore righteousness, dharma. And it's a team effort, because every time the Lord takes advent, he comes with his divine friends, co-workers, and companions. And so in one way, from age to age, we have come. We have come and been with Rama and Krishna and Buddha and Jesus. And now we're here as contemporaries of the Sai avatars. They are coming in a triplicity, a trinity. The first one was Shirdi Sai Baba, who left this dimension around 1918. I was at that time one of his, I was a young Brahmin boy who had been raised by him, orphaned, I suppose. And that being the reason I was living with Shirdi Baba. And his present incarnation as Satya Sai Baba, although now he has disappeared from his physical form and is working in the omnipresence, which makes him even more accessible to you without the deluding factor of the body. But his third manifestation, which some say is already here, as possibly an infant, is Prema Sai Baba, which means the embodiment of pure love. So wherever you are in that equation, you have had and are having an opportunity to be a contemporary with the greatest manifestation of the divine that has ever visited this planet thus far. Why is that? Because we keep expanding our capacity. And the Lord is only limited in his ability to interact with us based on the size of our capacity to receive. That is the only thing. God has all power, but is limited by our inability to receive all of him. So we keep expanding our capacity collectively, as human beings. And also, the advent of the Lord then in each age is increased accordingly, the ability of him to work with us. Satya Sai Baba came to set in place the golden age, to assure that it would be established. He said, had he not come in response to the prayers of the godly and righteous, that the earth would have been destroyed in a nuclear holocaust back in the 80s. But because the godly prayed, their devotion caused him to take manifestation. And because of that, and the silent influence working through each one of the devotees of the Lord, wherever they are, and whomever they follow, because God is one regardless of the form, the world has been saved, and there is no possibility now of its destruction by nuclear war. There is not even any possibility for a third world war. The war machine is petering out and dying out, and soon war will be absolutely not an option. No intelligent life form will have any desire to participate in war. And that's just a part of the old mind that in the old paradigm that is atrophying now and dying out in human consciousness as a result of the advent of Satya Sai Baba and you and me. So you have come and have been under his directive and influence and empowering guidance for your whole life, even though you've not been aware of it. That too is under his directive. You become aware of him only when it is time for you to do so. You can't hear him, anything about him. You can't know anything about him. You can't go see him unless it's perfect timing and he calls you to him and makes it possible. So it is your divine function and destiny to serve as his divine instrument in restoring righteousness and dharma on a firm footing. So dharma is often likened to, you may have seen the bull that Lord Shiva sits upon or rides upon, or sometimes you'll see a bull facing the Shiva Lingam in a Shiva temple. That's Nandi, and Nandi represents dharma. And dharma stands on only one leg during the Kali Yuga, the darkest of time, which is the age we are just now passing out of. And so in each of the succeeding ages, one of those legs is removed in terms of the footing of dharma. Until in the Kali Yuga, dharma is just standing on one leg. So when the Lord says that that we are here and he is here to restore dharma on a firm footing, that's what he means, the establishment of the four legs of dharma. So you're here at the behest of the Lord, who chooses you and calls you, and that is so even though it might seem like we choose the Lord, or that we make the decision to go to India and see Sai Baba or visit now the ashram or whatever. It seems like that's a random choice. But only in the illusion of time and space does such seem to be up to our random election. In truth, every step in the career of the avatar is predetermined. It's flawless and always successful. Thus, that is true also for our lives. Just take that on and have tea with it for a few minutes. Let's own it. Every step in your life is predetermined, flawless, and always successful, for you're part of the career of the Divine Avatar. And I have to add here, many of us are Anga Avatars. I was in an interview where there were, 9 or 10 of us in the room. I think there were 9 of us and Baba. And he said, you are all avatars. So in one sense, and I always had the feeling like I had come out of him. And the first time I looked at him, it was like looking at myself. I felt like I had come out of him like a ray of light, but that I had no separate existence apart from him. And I believe that's how you experience yourself when you're an extension of that potency or that particular divine embodiment, and that would be called an Anga avatar. Although the actual term avatar means one who has come down from a higher world, dimension, or state into human form. In other words, you can't become an avatar from the human state. You come down from the divine state into the human form as an avatar. You self-advent, in other words. So you cannot fail. Bottom line, you absolutely cannot fail to fulfill your appointed role and task, even if it looks like it. Let's say you royally messed up, or maybe you're messed up now, who knows? or at least have judged yourself as messed up. Maybe you're not at all, but maybe it looks like messed up. Regardless, you cannot fail. Whatever season and cycle you're moving through, it's probably for a reason that has nothing to do with you. It's probably to touch the environment or the people or the situation in some way to bring in that divine love and potency of the avatar into that situation. So bottom line, you just can't judge yourself at all. But take what we're sharing with you this evening and just own it. Just make it your own, because then it will make it easier for you. You know, you won't be creating drama where there's no necessity. So just release any other ideas that, you know, you may have appropriated to yourself that are simply not true and don't serve you. Always win. Always win in your own understanding. Now, some of you may be hearing this for the very first time. You may have never heard the word Satya, Sai Baba. So what does the name mean? Satya means truth. Truth with a capital T, absolute divine truth, which is never modified or changed. It is one eternal and forever truth. Sai means divine mother or the Lord. And Baba means father. So you have true mother, father, God. That's what the name Satya Sai Baba means. Moreover, Baba is an acronym for being, awareness, bliss, Atma. So you and I are all Baba. We are all being, awareness, bliss, Atma. And Atma, again, is a Sanskrit term, which means the universal, all it is, the universal divine. So know that there is absolutely nothing coincidental, accidental, or left random in your life. And only the ego will try to convince you otherwise. But ego is but a shadow, easily dispelled by the light of your own self-recognition. So every one of us have been called to enact a specific role and to deliver our assigned lines of our character in this divine play at exactly the perfect time. Now we have a time to enter the stage and interact, you know, in the drama, deliver our lines, exit the stage. Everything is divinely choreographed. And yes, I'm speaking to you, those of you who are choosing to listen to this seminar, which is also not merely by your personal whim or idle fancy. Mark that. Every step in your career as part of the divine advent, the avatar, has already been predetermined and guaranteed to succeed. Now, what's interesting is that Earth is in a time lag, which means that Sai Baba and all of us have actually come back in time from the future. And that's why I can say it's already succeeded. You've already won. It's already accomplished. It only appears to be manifesting now into time and space because there's a sequence of unfoldment in time for that which is instantly and forever present in spirit. So know that you are the celestial emissaries. Sometimes you're called the scions of the sun or the lords of the sun. the lords of the lineages of El, An, Ra, or the lineages of An, A-N or O-N. These refer to the lords of the Law of One. And we come forward into the template of duality through that stargate in the central belt of the Star of Orion, most often. That's the dimensional portal that we enter into the time-space duality continuum that we know of as this particular universe. But wherever you are, you live and move and have your being in God, in Sai Baba, specifically, because he has said that his human body, the aura of his human body, covers a 100-mile radius from Prashanti Nilayam in India to a 100-mile radius around there. His astral body, his subtle body, embraces the earth. His causal body embraces and includes the entirety of the causal plane. His mental body, the mental plane. And then his universal form contains all of the universe within it. So there's nowhere you can go that you're not in him. And he is in you. Now when I say he, I'm speaking of the universal Lord, who has all the names and all the forms, and it isn't just that one form that we're talking about that lives in India in a little orange robe with a little black afro. No. Like I said, you will see your own Ishta Devata. Ishta Devata means your chosen divine image, your divine beloved. The inner master, the form that you relate to the most, whether it's an inner form or an outer form, doesn't matter. Or formless. Some people worship God in a flame or, you know, a representation, calligraphy in the case of Islam. Doesn't matter. The Lord is one. So nothing can prevent you from fulfilling your divine calling and destiny. Nor can anything wrest you from the hands of the Beloved who holds you secure in his embrace and wrapped in his mantle of protective grace. You know, my life was saved so many times when I was a baby. I wasn't even supposed to be born. It was impossible for my mother to conceive and bear a child. And then our home caught on fire when I was 6 weeks old, and my crying awakened everyone. And we were living in a really high, multi-storied glass apartment, glass-walled apartment complex. And there was only one window in the bedroom, which overlooked a garage several stories below. And my father broke that glass with his fist, severed a major artery and was bleeding, wrapped me up in bed clothing after lowering my mother down on a sheet, you know, hand over hand down on a sheet to the roof, and then he picked me up and threw me out the window. And because the bedding, when it landed on the garage, was all covered with blood, everyone thought I was dead. So they quickly took me away, you know, from my mother, but then I was quite fine, shocked, but fine. And then the body, this body, my body, had lead poisoning from eating pain chips. And the doctor at the time, it was back in those days when the doctor would come with a little satchel to your individual home, and he, you know, there was nothing that could be done. He said, I'm sorry, but if you're a woman of prayer, I would suggest you pray, because as far as I can tell, she'll probably be dead by morning. But my mother prayed, and I later found out that Sai Baba saved my life. So, you know, there were just situation after situation in my own life in which the Lord saved my life and intervened. And also in the lives of my my daughter and my grandchildren. So this is something that if you look at your own life and the near misses that you may have had, or the miraculous healings, or the circumventions. I told you the story of how my coworker Solario and I actually drove through a jackknifed, overturned semi-tractor trailer on a dark desert night on an overpass. There was no way coming over the overpass we could have done anything but kept driving. And the Ashtar command of the Lord, whichever you want to call it, or both, dematerialized us and rematerialized us on the other side of that van. We drove right through it. So there is a way that the Lord can absolutely offset the natural laws, because the Lord created the laws in the first place. But the thing of it is, although Baba says that he can transform in an instant the earth and wipe out all the crime and the war and everything, but without the necessary correction of the human consciousness, without the attainment of self, you know, of self consciousness, you know, to where you're responsible for your choices and the actions and the things that you perpetrate on the planet, until that is addressed, he would revert very quickly back to the same situation. So that's why Baba proceeds to bring transformation gradually and also through us, because we are all over the planet. We're in every line of work and occupation. Every nation, every race, creed, color, and situation is represented by the millions and millions and millions of devotees of Satya Sai Baba. So that's why. That's why he doesn't go presto change-o and make everything transformed in a, you know, that's his purpose is education, to draw forth, which is the real meaning of the word educate, to draw forth from within your innate knowing of your divinity. And when you know who you are and the divine embodiment that you are, you're going to act a lot differently than if you believed you, you evolved from a monkey. So realize you're a divine embodiment. Divine embodiment, and your life is very precious. He said, be aware, this time will not come again. If you don't use this opportunity to save yourself, when again can such opportunity come to you? And he said that the good merit that we carry, that's enabled us to be born as a contemporary of the Avatar, is beyond anything you could have achieved in this lifetime. So your good fortune today is the cumulative effect of countless lifetimes in which you have been a devotee of the Lord, in which you have rendered selfless, loving service, in which you have been the gurus and the rishis and the teachers and the saints and the sages, and all of these divine expressions. And every other kind of incarnation, too, because we get to play all roles. But Baba has this to say about himself. I am love. I shower love. I share love. I am pleased with love. I bless you that you may give more and more love to more and more beings. Love is God. God is love. Live in love. All life is one. Be alike to everyone. So we are the most fortunate of all generations to be contemporaries during the advent of these three Sai avatars, who are safely and securely guiding us into a golden age of peace and divine love. In the case, you know, of previous avatars, they were only recognized by a mere handful or less of their contemporaries. So it's unique in the sense that the Sai Avatar, in all of history, he's the only one who has ever been recognized by millions of people as the divine avatar within his own lifetime. And no other avatar in all of history has ever walked as freely amongst mankind. none have been so accessible to all of humanity as Satya Sai Baba. So his influence radiates through our hearts and minds, and through us and into our arenas of influence, and thus brings about a gradual transformation into a higher state of consciousness. And that is how the avatar works, to bring transformation through us, his devotees. And, you know, in the case of Satya Sai Baba, this amounts to millions and millions of people worldwide. Sai Baba has also said that there's no problem of overpopulation in our world. That each soul actually has come specifically to be a contemporary of this avatar. That's why you're here. Again, even though you may not know that, you may be totally into another mindset and trip, that has nothing to do with it. There will be a time when you will awaken and you will fulfill the role that has already been predetermined by you and by the Lord. And it was the Lord, the avatar, who called you to be born at this particular time. Your timing of your birth is perfect. The timing at which you come to know about him and to awaken spiritually is perfect. The succession of teachers and things you've studied and been involved with is perfect. The experiences that you've undergone and the lessons and the challenges has been perfect. You know, when you hear some of the stories that people tell, you laugh because we've come from every kind of a background you can imagine, every kind of a situation. And some of the stories are really, really funny. And they're always amazing. They're always, you know, touch your heart deeply. And another unique feature of the Sai Avatar is that at no other time in human history has any avatar united people of every caste, culture, nation, and religion and caused them to sit side by side to sing and worship the names of each other's form of God. That's never happened. But we come together in one place at Prashanthi Nilayam or wherever the Sai Baba centers are throughout the world, and we come as one family. And there's absolutely no discrimination whatsoever. So in India, you know, you would see these so-called Dalits, you know, the untouchables, sitting right next to Maharanis and Maharajas. Those are queens and kings. And devout Christians worshiping together the names of Shiva and Krishna and Rama and Buddha with Hindus and Buddhists. And you see Muslims sitting next to Jews, and everyone is worshiping God, atheists and believers alike. And all such man-made distinctions vanish in the radiant love that Sai Baba showers upon us all and cause us to well up from within us. You know, the hardest hearts soften and melt like butter in the warmth of Sai's love. The most broken and warped minds and lives are set aright and repaired and restored, and saints are transformed into truly radiant, resplendent divinity. And sinners are transformed into saints. And the downtrodden are set upon a seat of honor and acclaim. And the proud are humbled. And the meek are exalted. I've seen all of that in my many, many years of going back and forth on many, many trips to Sai Baba, and usually living anywhere from 2 to 6 months with Baba at a time. And very often alone. I often traveled alone. The first trip I made was with my my teacher here in Los Angeles, John Roger. And in those early days, the people in the movement of spiritual inner awareness and the people that were the early devotees of Sai Baba, of which I was one, we were all together because there was no organization at that point. So we were just all people who loved God and loved people and wanted our lives to be accounting for something. We all wanted to participate in transforming humanity. And so there were 50 of us, and the very, very first, we were the largest group of Westerners to ever go to Sai Baba back in 1972. And we were only the second group of Westerners to ever go see Sai Baba. There was a group that went in 64, but they were from all over the place, mostly Australia, I think. But, we were the first and the largest of the Western devotees. And it was interesting because almost all of us were ministers or in some line of spiritual work already. I was an esotericist. I was an Alice Bailey teacher in the line of theosophical thought. And I was a teacher and a lecturer and a writer. And that's how I recognized Sai Baba, because we were preparing for the advent of the avatar of synthesis. And, of course, I recognized Baba immediately from the description given of him in the Alice Bailey books by the Tibetan master DK. So I knew who he was, as soon as I heard him speak, as soon as I saw him, as soon as I heard of him. And then it was my dharma to go back to some 11 of those esoteric groups, Alice Bailey groups and Agni Yoga groups, and share with them the fact that the avatar was now upon the earth. And a few believed me, and most of them didn't, but a few did and became devotees at that time. But again, it doesn't matter, because Baba doesn't want you to leave your particular spiritual path, your native religion, and your particular dharma in the world and adopt a whole new life after you've come to him. He wants you pretty much to be a better Christian if you're a Christian, a better Buddhist if you're a Buddhist, a better Muslim if you're a Muslim, whatever. He wants you to take it to a deeper inner life and relationship with God, and to basically live in your own land and amongst your own people and live that divine life there under the spiritual understanding that you already have embraced and understand, but don't stay stuck in it. Keep expanding so that it's universal, so that you feel a kinship with all people and all forms of God and all approaches to the divine. I know I had pretty much left my early Christian faith, not left my faith, certainly not abandoned Jesus, but in terms of going to church and all of that, I had pretty well relegated that to kind of nursery school level, spirituality 101, for infants. And so I was studying the esoteric teachings. But Sai Baba actually reintroduced me to the real, true meaning and teachings of Jesus Christ. So based on his encouragement, I went back into Christianity and really began to study it and see it through a more expanded understanding and vision. So it's Baba who led me back to my original birth faith. And he does that with many devotees. So those of us who are committed to spirit are sensitive to spiritual guidance. And we've learned to watch for that message that's hidden in the little details, of our daily lives. And one of the ways that you can tell when you're starting to come into alignment and you are fulfilling your divine purpose is that you begin to feel really clean and clear inside. the conflict inside your levels begins to subside, and you're starting to come into divine alignment and order. And when you're in impeccable alignment with your soul's purpose and your higher levels, there's a sense of clarity and lightheartedness. You know, the heaviness around the heart, the drama, the confusion just kind of dissipates. So there's an inner sense of certainty, and the matter feels settled within you as a carefree peace. So Baba often says that never worry and never hurry. Haste makes worry, and worry makes hurry. So never, never be in a hurry. The ego always has a sense of feeling like it's going to lose out or miss out or be left behind. But when you live in that certainty, there's a sense of calm certainty that prevails. And in divine right action, there is neither worry nor hurry, only this calm certitude. And there's also the presence of happiness. You just feel naturally happy when you are in alignment with your higher soul purpose. And part of that is the experience of joy and laughter. And there's a certain coming together of events and people and situations that seem to flow in ease and grace. And everyone is benefited. So that joining and sharing and mutual life enhancement unfolds. That's how you can look at your life and the people around you and see how in alignment you are. Because when you're in alignment, you tend to bring an order into your environment, into your family, into your workplace. You become an instrument for reconciliation and healing and harmonization wherever you are. So divine order, perfect timing, and synchronicity are characteristics of living divinely connected and being on purpose in your life. And when there are a series of speed bumps, so to speak, that occur, and you find yourself stressed out and out of harmony with what is occurring in your life, stop and pay attention. Because you're taking a wrong approach. The speed bumps are like, slow down. And know that wherever there is strife and discord, be aware. You have stepped out of spiritual alignment, and you need to stop and clear yourself and get back into that grace zone. Also remember that Sai Baba's statement that happiness is union with God. Happiness is union with God. And in A Course in Miracles, there's a lesson that's entitled, My Happiness and My Divine Function Are One. So that's why it's important to notice when you are happy, because generally you are in alignment with something that's divinely appointed for you. Sai Baba often tells us to never worry. I am always with you. Be happy. Why fear when I am here? I shall bear all of your burdens. Exchange your problems, worries, and burdens, and take from me my gift of bliss, Ananda. Give me your burdens. Take from me bliss. That is the exchange I most welcome. So to the one who has placed themselves fully and completely in my hands, with no trace of ego, I will bear the full burden of your welfare. I shall shoulder all of your worries and concerns, resolve all of your problems, providing you fully rely upon me. And again, the me that Sai Baba is referring to here is the divine spirit, but it could be also him. Sai Baba may be your chosen form of God. So as for myself, being a lifelong devotee of Sai Baba, I've seen how divine protection and provision that dome of grace provides. And that dome of grace is placed over our household, our children, our loved ones, and by association, whether or not they're on a conscious spiritual path, they are protected and included and provided for. So Sai Baba always has taken care of me and my children and loved ones, and I fully rely and depend upon him for everything. So that's why no matter what seems to be happening in the world, to the economy or what may happen in the future, we need to have no worries or concerns, for we know who holds the future and who is governing all things from behind the scenes and through us. Sometimes we're used as instruments to intervene and to change things in society. And sometimes it's our silent influence as we move about in our daily work. But either way, we are instruments through which something supremely divine and pure and grand and glorious is flowing through us. So give your life to the Lord fully and completely. Be a child of God, a trusting devotee of the Lord. And you know, the only thing that God has no power over is the human heart that must be given to the Lord by our own free will and decision. And once that's done, you're carried home through grace. So to attain enlightenment, beloveds, is the greatest service that you can render to this planet. That's what Sai Baba always tells us is, that's the greatest service you can possibly render to the planet, is to awaken spiritually, to be that divine self. And when you are, there's no possibility of violence. You become tender and gentle and loving and service-oriented, and everything that you do then becomes a blessing to all around you. And you find that even though you're still walking in a human body, you're consciously living in heaven now. And that's what you're called to be and to manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth now. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Om Shanti, 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 which is the Sanskrit word for peace. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May all the beings of all the worlds have peace. May all experience bliss. May all awaken to the love that is their true divine nature. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.